From NPR News in Washington, I'm Paul Brown. At least 20 people were killed in Iraq's Diyala province today, and at least 30 hurt when a suicide bomb exploded at a funeral service. Al-Qaeda in Iraq has claimed responsibility. U.S. Commander General David Petraeus and Ambassador Ryan Crocker testify on Capitol Hill next week about the troop surge in Iraq. Congressional Democrats are already trying to frame the testimony in their own terms. NPR's Debbie Elliott reports.
Democratic House leaders are highlighting the cost of the war and what they call a lack of political progress in Iraq. Armed Services Committee Chairman Ike Skelton says militarily the surge may be successful, but not politically.
Our young people are out there trying to glue this together militarily and with some success. Bless their heart. But the Iraqis are not stepping up to the plate as they should. And Americans should understand that it's theirs to win or lose.
Skelton says U.S. troops have given the Iraqi government plenty of time to meet political benchmarks and unify the country, but the government has failed. Skelton says Pentagon plans to freeze force levels in Iraq will wear down troops and compromise military readiness. Debbie Elliott, NPR News, the Capitol.
President Bush is meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin today on the sidelines of the NATO summit in Romania. They're to meet again tomorrow and Sunday at a resort in Russia. Putin is displeased at NATO's pledge that the former Soviet republics of Ukraine and Georgia will eventually be offered a path to NATO membership. And he remains opposed to a U.S. missile defense system proposed for Europe, which NATO leaders have now said they'll support. Russia has agreed to let NATO ship non-military aid through Russian territory to Afghanistan. The trial of more than a half dozen men charged with plotting to blow up airliners over the Atlantic has begun in Britain. As Larry Miller reports, they are accused of planning to bring down a number of flights bound for North America.
The prosecution claims eight Muslim men aged between 23 and 29 planned to mix chemicals on board transatlantic flights, detonating them using a specially made AA battery and the flash from disposable cameras. After the alleged plot was discovered in August 2006, airports around the world implemented new regulations restricting liquids and cabin baggage. The seven flights targeted were those bound for Washington, New York, Chicago, San Francisco, Toronto, and Montreal. The alleged plan was to wait until all the planes were in the air before causing the first explosion. The accused denied the charges. The trial is expected to last 8 months. For NPR News, I'm Larry Miller in London.
Wall Street stock futures are mixed this morning. European stock prices moved higher in early trading today. This is NPR News. Two inmates at a California prison have reportedly stabbed three guards. As NPR's Mandalit Del Barco reports, all state prisons were locked down as a precaution.
A spokesman for the state's Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation says two inmates at the Tehachapi prison rushed guards in an office on the yard, stabbing three people, two sergeants and an officer. They're said to be in stable condition, but as a precaution, all state prisons in California were locked down while the stabbings were being investigated. The two inmates involved in the incident are reportedly members of California prison gangs who are being held in the maximum security facility. 3 years ago, at the same prison southeast of Bakersfield, two guards were stabbed by a prisoner using a homemade weapon. The overcrowded Tehachapi prison was also the scene of a riot between black and Latino inmates 3 years ago. Mandalit Del Barco, NPR News.
It's 40 years today since civil rights leader Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated in Memphis, Tennessee. Democratic Congressman John Lewis of Georgia, another civil rights pioneer who endured beatings during his days of protest in the 60s, reflected on King's legacy in an interview with the Associated Press.
The legacy of Martin Luther King Jr. is one of bringing people together, probably more than any other leader of the 20th century. He had the power to bring more people together to do good.
King's 1968 assassination sparked riots in cities across the country. His killer, James Earl Ray, died in prison while serving his sentence for the assassination. I'm Paul Brown, NPR News in Washington.